Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 34. The Reverend Robert Zagore is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke chapter 22. A dispute rose among them as to which was to be considered the greatest. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those who exercise authority are called benefactors. But you are not to be that way. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred on one on me, so that you may be able to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The reason that
I get to wear a red stole today is because today is the festival of St. Bartholomew, and I have the privilege of preaching about somebody that we're not really sure we know anything about. It's a great and wonderful thing to be able to say that. Now, Bartholomew was probably the same as Nathaniel, because Bartholomew just means son of Tholomew, or maybe son of a farmer, or something like that. So it was probably like a surname. After all, Simon was Barjona, son of Jonah, and Judas was Judas Iscariot, Judas from Kerioth. And so oftentimes people would be called by either their family name or by their regional name. And so Nathanael probably was Bartholomew, and they were probably the same guy, although the connection is never made explicit in Scripture. It's just they're never found in the same place at the same time, and Bartholomew's not mentioned by John, and Nathanael's not mentioned by the synoptics, so they figure it's got to be the guy. It's got to be the same guy. And the early church has lots of stories about how he died in three different places, all of which by horrible deaths. Probably one of those was true, although we don't know much about it. He and Thomas have the honor of being the apostles who, tradition says, went to India and founded what was in the early church one of the largest churches in the world, something to really rejoice in. And we know, or at least if you go to Israel and you tour around the place where they think that the wedding at Cana might have been, that it appears to be his house that they had it at. Whether it was his wedding or not, tradition says that it was his house. And it's a very small place, by the way. You could fit it twice within this room that we're in right now. It's a very small place. And so, whether or not any of these things are true, it doesn't really matter. Because it isn't all the great things that he did. In fact, we have a story out of Luke about all the disciples on the night in which they were betrayed. They had just received the Lord's Supper. And immediately broke out into a dispute. And this wasn't just any dispute. Luke, who's a classicist and understands the use of Greek words, says that this was a philoneike. That's a word that he took right off of Mars Hill, where all the philosophers would sit around and they would dispute about their favorite topics. It didn't really matter what that favorite topic was. Some just specialized in it, and it was the thing that they always fought about, no matter what. So within our church, it might be those who say, well, yeah, you're just for keeping the churches barely alive, and I'm missional, or I'm rectilinear, and you're typological in your exegetical outlook, or I'm a Buffalo Synod guy at heart, and you're just one of these Laiites, or who knows what people are arguing about today, but there seem to be the same topics that folks keep circling back around to, and that's why it's important that Luke says, this was their beloved argument. It came right out of the philosopher's world. They kept coming back to this one. Which of them should be seen as the greatest? Which of the disciples were chief among all the disciples? Who was the guy who was going to be known for accomplishing the most? Who was the guy who was going to be called Jesus' favorite? After all, it was obvious this guy's getting a kingdom. Nobody's ever done what he's done before. Healing the sick, raising the dead. Did you see what he just did over in Bethany? Oh my goodness, guy's dead for 4 days and he didn't even stink when he came out. It was wonderful. They didn't know greatness because they had to be saved from the same thing that everybody else is saved from. The fact that our sin makes us anything but great, makes us anything but worthy of praise, makes us anything but worthy of honor. And those talents, gifts, skills, accomplishments that we often point to say we really deserve recognition are the very things that cause us to stumble and fall. Those things we're most proud of tend to be the things that the Lord cherishes least about us. A dispute rose among them, and Jesus says, if you're talking about greatness, who's great? The guy who waits on the table or the guy who eats at the table? Weren't you just there when I washed your feet? Weren't you just there as I served you my body and blood? But there's something wondrous here that I have a hard time describing. It isn't just that Jesus says, whoever's least among you will be greatest of all, and he, in other gospel accounts, sets a little child among them and says, you've got to become like him, which I believe is why St. John will always refer to people as little children, even the old men. He's calling them great. But instead of scolding them, he praises them for things that I wouldn't have expected. You remaining 11, Judas is gone. He's already out there betraying me. He should be back any time now with the temple guard. But you, you're the ones who stood by me in my trials. And because of that, I'm going to give you a kingdom. Can you imagine what that means, that Jesus is now complimenting them for standing by him in his trials, and they're all about to leave? They're all about to run away scared. But Jesus is not going to back off from the promise that he has made about a kingdom. And you shall sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the book of Revelation, John describes the scene where the disciples sit on thrones, judging not only the 12 tribes of Israel, but before the Lamb, sharing great glory with those who were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, in positions of great honor that they didn't earn and certainly didn't deserve. And it wasn't because one of them was the greatest in their accomplishments or their actions or their duties. It was because they walked with greatness and they brought greatness with them as they brought the message of Jesus. As they gathered together with churches and people of no repute and those who in the Old Testament were called David's men. The poor, the lame, the frail, the meek, the abused, the brokenhearted, the grieving, the peacemakers. As he gathered them to himself, the Lord gathered them to where greatness is always found and will be found eternally, in his presence and in his light. As my Father gave me a kingdom, I'm going to give one to you. And while the promise was unique to them, the promise is not unique in that it excludes us. Who are these in the great white robes, too many to be counted, wearing palm branches in their hands, rejoicing, standing before the throne of God in everlasting bliss? These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. Have no fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you a kingdom. The same promise given to you. What makes you great today? What are you going to accomplish to be able to show to Jesus to say, I deserve the glory and honor and the name and the title and the opportunity to work in your church in a high and lustrous position and to be able to say to people, I serve the Lord. It's only this. That where you go, you bring him with you. That the Holy Spirit given to you in baptism goes with you wherever you are, and that makes you the place of the location of God, yea, even his temple. And that wherever you go, salvation can be known and heard, and love freely given, and freely received. And like little children, one minute are throwing sand at each other in the playground, and the next minute are hugging and coloring and painting together. We can love and forgive and live and rejoice before his throne because that's his promise to you, his redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for John and Jen Wolfe, who served the Lord in Kenya. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.